Welcome to episode 1179 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Our series, 1010 with Jesus, A Deeper Look, continues today. The morning sun rose over Jerusalem, casting long shadows across the city's stone walls. In the bustling lanes near the temple, a man sat in his usual place, his back against the wall, a worn cloak spread over his legs to collect coins. He was blind, born that way. He had never seen the color of the sky or the faces of his family. His world was built from touch and sound, footsteps, voices, silence. People passed by, some dropping coins without a glance, others muttering about sin and punishment. For in those days, many believed blindness was a curse, a consequence of some hidden iniquity. That morning, a group of people approached. It appeared to be several men. They spoke not to him, but about him.
"Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?"
The blind man stiffened. He'd heard that question 1,000 times. But the voice that answered was different, gentle, yet full of authority.
"Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him."
The man tensed. He didn't know what that meant, but then he heard footsteps approaching and the sound of someone kneeling. There was a pause. Then a strange noise, the sound of someone spitting into the dust. He flinched as a warm paste was gently pressed onto his eyes. Mud. He barely had time to wonder before the man said,
"Go wash in the pool of Siloam."
The blind man didn't hesitate. Somehow, he knew. This was different. He rose, steadying himself, and with help, made his way through the streets to the pool outside the city walls. The Pool of Siloam was located in the southern part of ancient Jerusalem, at the end of Hezekiah's tunnel, outside the walls of the city of David, but still within the city precincts. He knelt, he washed, and then light. For the first time, his world exploded into color and motion. He saw water rippling in the pool, stones beneath his feet, his own reflection. Tears blurred his vision. He laughed, he shouted. He stared at the sky, overwhelmed by its brightness. He ran back into the city. Alone, it might have taken the blind man 30 or 40 minutes to get to the pool, possibly longer if he was cautious. With help, it might have been possible to make that trip in 15 or 20 minutes. This was a delayed miracle. Still, the man obeyed without delay. He walks a significant distance, still blind, with only faith and Jesus' command guiding him. The healing didn't happen immediately. It required obedience and trust. What if our own sufferings weren't mere misfortunes, but gateways for God's power to be revealed? This story begins not with a teaching, but with a stirred heart and a moving Savior who sees someone ignored by society. Before the miraculous act, Jesus' heart reaches deeper than physical needs. He comes to bring light into a world that has known only darkness. Jesus doesn't heal with a word from a distance. He kneels, mixes mud from the ground, applies it to the man's eyes, and tells him to wash. The man obeys. Mud was once used to construct walls and seal graves. Now Jesus uses it, not to harm, but to invite healing. He meets the blind man where he is, in the dust, in the shame, in the outcastness. By telling him to go wash, Jesus invited action, response, partnership, and faith. When the man returns, he can see. He faces interrogation, first from neighbors, then the Pharisees, his parents, and finally Jesus himself. Each step reveals more about who he is and who Jesus is. His sight becomes both a physical gift and a spiritual test. Will he cling to the miracle or follow the healer? The Pharisees are scandalized. Healing on the Sabbath? Jesus must be a sinner. They interrogate the man, hoping his story will disqualify him. But he persistently stands by what he knows.
"One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see."
That simple confession is more profound than all their theological arguments. In the face of skepticism, interrogation, and religious pressure, he doesn't argue doctrine or philosophy. He bears witness to transformation. His clarity cuts through confusion. He may not understand everything about who Jesus is, but he knows what Jesus has done. This reminds us, faith doesn't require having all the answers. It begins with acknowledging the undeniable work of God in our lives. When your story collides with Jesus, your testimony becomes your theology. And sometimes the most powerful words we can speak are not lofty explanations, but quiet certainties. One thing I know. Enraged, the Pharisees cast the blind man out of the synagogue, excommunicated, cut off from the religious life of the community. But Jesus heard what had happened, and once again, he sought him out. They met alone in the city streets. Jesus looked into his eyes, not just healed, but clear, bold, and bright with belief.
Do you believe in the Son of Man?
Who is he, sir? Tell me, so I may believe in him.
You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you.
The man fell to his knees.
Lord, I believe.
And he worshipped him. As others looked on, Jesus spoke for all to hear.
For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind.
Some Pharisees nearby heard him.
Are we blind too?
If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains.
The man born blind received more than physical sight. He was seen, called, and ultimately saved. He moved from beggar to believer, from outcast to worshiper. And all through a Savior who not only opens eyes, but opens hearts. In a world where many still claim to see while living in spiritual darkness, this story remains a mirror and a message. Only Jesus gives true sight. Let's get deep. What this encounter teaches us about Jesus. Jesus sees what others overlook. Where the disciples saw a theological debate and the Pharisees saw a nuisance, Jesus saw a man, a person, not a problem. He noticed someone the religious world had passed by. This teaches us that Jesus is the kind of Savior who stops for the unseen, values the voiceless, and meets us in the margins. If you've ever felt invisible, remember, Jesus sees. Jesus reframes suffering with divine purpose. When asked, "Who sinned?" Jesus replied, "Neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." He doesn't deny pain, but he does deny that it is pointless. Jesus teaches us suffering can become a stage for God's glory, not because God delights in pain, but because he is able to redeem it. Jesus initiates healing that invites response. Jesus doesn't ask the man if he wants to see, he simply acts, yet he also tells the man to go wash in the pool. Jesus' grace reaches us first, but he dignifies us by involving us in our healing. This shows Jesus desires relationship, not passivity. His power often meets us at the intersection of grace and obedience. Jesus walks with us through resistance and ridicule. The man's healing leads to interrogation and rejection, even by his own parents. But when he is cast out by the religious elite, Jesus comes to find him again. Jesus is not only the healer at the beginning, he is the shepherd who stays. He doesn't abandon those who are rejected for his name. Jesus reveals himself more clearly to the faithful. When the man's spiritual insight matures, he is ready to see more than a miracle worker. He sees the Son of Man and believes. Jesus reveals his identity in deeper ways to those who persist in faith, even under pressure. In this, we learn Jesus is not content with surface belief. He wants to be known deeply and truly. Jesus is both light and divider. Jesus says he came into the world, so
the blind will see, and those who see will become blind.
His light exposes both sight and blindness. He is compassionate, yes, but also confrontational toward pride and spiritual arrogance. He comforts the humble and unsettles the self-righteous. Jesus is gentle, but he is never neutral. This moment in John 9 shows us a Jesus who not only heals, but reveals, who comforts the outcast and confronts the arrogant, who brings light not just to eyes, but to souls. He is the light of the world, and when we truly see him, everything changes. Father, thank you for the one who sees us in our darkness and calls us into light. Remove the mud that clouds our sight and wash us in your grace. Give us hearts that respond in obedience, confess our need, and share your glory. Let our lives shine not with pride, but with gratitude. For we once were blind, but now we see through Jesus' mercy, and because of that, we can move forward in love. Empower us to do so. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.